Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I threw my hand up early, then I put it down. I was like, oh, he's tackled. Then I put it up again after he ran. I mean, he's the best back in football. I don't know how awards shake out, but I mean, he should be in the running for every award. He's an absolute stud. We love having him, and he makes our offense go.
That, of course, is the voice of Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. He's talking about James Cook. James Cook going into tonight has a, how big of a lead? 80 something yards? What are we at here? 15-32. Dan, what is it? 15-32 minus 14-43. Let's go, baby. Do it. Ask. Owen, you got it? What is it? 15-32 minus 14-43. Come on.
This is not for me.
All right, wait. Calculator?
Hey, Siri. Watch it.
Okay. Here, yeah, thank you.
What is 15-32 minus 14-43? 89. I thought I had it on there. I thought she was going to talk. I guess I had my phone on silent because
okay.
I'm on the radio.
That's all right.
89. I was going to guess 89. I did not want to be wrong, though.
I'm just glad I'm not embarrassed by Siri right now.
There you go. 89 yards. Jonathan Taylor tonight has a chance to catch him, obviously. The other thing about James Cook, which is crazy, who had James Cook leading the league in carries? I mean, with this philosophy, with how not big he is, 287 on the season. 272 for Taylor. So Taylor would need 15 carries tonight to match that. It's crazy. James Cook has 500 more yards, essentially, a little less than that, than Saquon Barkley this year. It's incredible. That is a monster gap. The guy has a chance for, about 1,700 yards this year. Incredible season. That was Josh Allen on him. Anyway, not to divert here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, it is presented on a Monday by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Let's get to our extra point from the sidelines. Haven't done that yet. Before you do that, let me welcome everybody back in. Thanks a lot for listening, WGR Sports Radio 550. We are, of course, on the YouTube and Twitch stream, and you can jump in there. We got a lot of our regulars from the bullpen saying hello, so I'm saying hello to you today. Hope you guys have all of you, guys, ladies, men, women, kids, whatever, everybody coming in. I know school, a couple of days left here probably for most people. Hope you have a great holiday season. It's nice to have a Victory Monday here as we roll on into the Christmas week. Got some football going on this week. We'll get to that a little bit later. But thanks a lot for coming aboard. Let's get to our extra point from the sidelines. It is brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. The injury to Quinshon Judkins was really tough to watch. So tough that I actually haven't even seen it yet, guys. Did you see the actual play? Because I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you, this is the extra point from the sidelines. What I did see was the replay on the big board of Matt Milano's helmet hit Judkins in the hip really hard.
Yeah.
And apparently that caused Judkins' foot, I think, to get caught or something. But I didn't see the foot because the replay on the big board didn't show it. And I was standing next to Evan Washburn of CBS, and he said to me, we're not going to show it on TV.
Yeah.
And he had the monitor that they use on the sideline so he can see the replay. So I didn't see the replay of that. Did you see it, Dan?
I saw it. I couldn't even tell where he got hurt. It was just kind of all
he got
bang,
his foot caught
play.
Maybe when
yeah,
after Milano
it,
hit him.
Like kind of got caught underneath him as Milano kind of flew over top, and it was one of those like you know leg sideways, dislocated, broken, real nasty Cam Scatabo.
And it was it was very ominous. As soon as like he was down, and everybody was gathered around.
Yeah,
you knew it was bad, but. Yeah, on the sidelines, it was literally like Evan Washburn said to me, we're not showing it on TV.
And that was really like, I didn't search it out after that because I knew I didn't want to see it, but it came across my feed because of course it did.
Yes.
And I knew when they said that on the broadcast, like, oh man,
yeah,
like, that's not good. Because like you said, it was as soon as he was down, they kind of cut away from the clip of Milano blowing him up and he was down punching the ground and you're like, oh. That's not good.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realize until they said that it was that gruesome of a situation.
So it was he's a really good player. And even without him, though, one of the things that came up yesterday, obviously, was the Bills' inability to stop the run once they brought in the other Sanders, Raheem Sanders. I mean, he didn't have a high yards per carry, but, man, he was moving the pile. And after contact, Bills tackling again yesterday was not very good. I cover all of this in my Arrow Up, Arrow Down column at WGR550.com, so check it out there. We'll get back to your phone calls here. We do have open phone lines and plenty of time to take your calls before we get to the bottom of the hour. And then in the next half hour, we'll do sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. JD in Hamburg. Good morning, JD.
Hey, Sal, good morning. Yeah, first of all, you mentioned James Cook. I think that the best thing the Bills did this year, and you can credit the coaches and the GM and whoever decided this, was James Cook had to be the focus and to be a real elite number one back with way, way, way more carries than he ever had. And I didn't hear a lot of people on the air saying that would be a good idea. It has been a great idea. And the best thing you want for Josh Allen is to not have to throw the ball more than 30 times. That's been working out great. So I'm just going to say this. The road is clear now. The Kansas City Chiefs are out. The Ravens are in a shambles. So here's my point. The Bills been good enough to win for at least 5 years now, for the most part. And there's really only a couple teams, three, four teams, that are in their league in the NFL. So my point is this. I basically obsess about McDermott and Bean all day long. And in the last few weeks, I've started to think, you know, it really is time for the Bills players to decide that they're going to do it and they're going to push it over the finish line. And it's up to them. McDermott and Bean, there's deficiencies on the team, but they've put them in a position to win. And there's something that the Bills have been doing on the positive side is they've been getting things done at the right time. And I'm a big believer that timing, the right mentality leads to great timing. And if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, no matter where they were in the standings, somehow those guys who lead that team are always on the money at the right time. And they can win games in the playoffs that they don't deserve to win, including against the Buffalo Bills. Something I've always admired about that club. And I'll finish with this. I just firmly believe right now that the Buffalo Bills, never mind McDermott, never mind Bean, never mind the deficiencies, there's only a couple teams in this league as good as they are. It is time for them to win it. And they've been exhibiting some great mentality. Benford, Rousseau came up big at the right time yesterday. Bosa jumping up at the right time again yesterday. It's about the mentality. It's time to win. And we can complain about the coach and the GM all day, but I want to get your thoughts because I truly think this team, there's no excuse. This team can do it all and win it all.
Yeah, they certainly have a good enough roster, good overall, because they have the quarterback. And there are certainly deficiencies on the roster. No one's going to deny that. I'll go back to what I always say. Every team has deficiencies on its roster. I mean, look at what happened with the Broncos yesterday, right? And they're at home against the Jags. They give up 34 points, that vaunted Broncos defense. And it is. It's very, very good. They give up 346 yards. They actually had 445 yards of their own, only scored 20 points out of it. I say only because, like, it's you would think by looking at the numbers, that's not the way the game went. Every game is different, and you play that game, you play that team. I say it all the time that you can't play against the Patriots in the playoffs today when you're playing against the Browns in a regular season game. You cross that bridge when you come to it, and you play that game. You prepare for that game and that team differently. When it comes time to the players, your point, they do have good enough team. Absolutely they do. They do have a good enough quarterback. I think going on the road for three straight games is a challenge for any team, regardless of quarterback, regardless of coach. That's a challenge for any team. It's not an excuse. It's going to be tough to do. But despite having the deficiencies we've talked about, here are the Buffalo Bills still at 11-4 on the season. I mean, it's still, it's a really good year by most standards, right? But we know that here in Buffalo, because of what's happened in the past, because of the quarterback you have, you still got to get to the end. Otherwise, it's not a really good year. And that's tough. But it's the expectation you have. And it's the standard that's been set here. Let's go to Steve in Hamburg. Hi, Steve. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I was pretty disappointed yesterday.
Okay.
We have Sanders that was holding the clipboard as a third-string quarterback about 28 days ago. We have a team that's one of the worst records in the NFL. We drive 3 hours. I truly think they're celebrating their loss more than we're celebrating our victory. You shut down the MVP last year, Josh Allen. The Browns lose by 3 points. I truly believe that we do have a great running game, and any good defensive coordinator come playoffs, truly, if you shut down Cook, you shut us down. I don't think we're going to go past the first round. I don't think we deserve to, and that's based on the selection the coaches have made and our GM with our receiving talent. We truly have no threat. And we might be able to chip away to get where we're at today. But after yesterday, losing, or correction, winning by 3 points to a terrible team, terrible, gives me no confidence. And really, we have to consider, as much as the callers don't feel it's important, we do need a quality field goal kicker. Because irrelevant if we get to be inside in a dome or controlled environment, it could come down to that. And the fact that we truly don't have one concerns me. So I feel that we'll be out, irrelevant who we play in the first round. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. The Browns have a really, really great defense. Otherwise, they have a terrible offense. I don't disagree with that. It's not a terrible team other than their record. Very good defense. And Shedeur Sanders is actually the best quarterback on their roster. He should have been playing earlier than he was, I think, after watching him the last few weeks. That being said, no doubt, definitely some plays and things the Bills could have done differently against him and should have done differently against him. I guess, yeah, hey, you can be disappointed. I get it. But I don't get with the kicking thing right now because I just don't know what they're supposed to do. Their normal kicker has not kicked all year. He got hurt in training camp. And the guy they picked up has been pretty good most of the year. He's missed a couple of kicks. It could wind up hurting him in the end. I don't think it's been a huge liability for them this year. They have a couple missed kicks here and there. It's not been something that's totally cost them. But sorry. Hey, you're disappointed? Cheer up, man. It's Christmas. They got the win. It's all good. I get where you're coming from, though. Let's go to John in Detroit. Hi, John.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call again.
Yep.
I only had a shorter trip this week, 2.5 hours instead of 5.5. But a little disappointed. Again, you know, we had a lot of talk about the receiving corps. But I like your analysis to the earlier caller that this is just something we have to accept now. With the identity is a running team. And ironically, we may win the Super Bowl with a running team. And that's just the way it's going to have to play out. I mean, we had all those years, you know, with DeAndre Reed and, you know, all those receivers we had back in the day when we went to 4 Super Bowls. But it's time, I guess, to accept it. But watching the Patriots last night with Diggs and Hollins, it was like rubbing salt in the wound every time they caught a ball. Mm-hmm. And those two guys were spectacular last night. So let's just go on and win it with the running team. I agree with you. You know, nothing we can do. We've tried many other receivers, and none of them have worked out. So stay the course, and let's hope we'll be celebrating in February.
Yeah, you got it, John. It would be a definitely different way to do it over the last few years, what we've seen from the NFL with how teams throw the ball and not saying the Bills can't throw the ball. They could still have a 300-yard passing game from Josh Allen. Of course he's capable of that. But to have the limitations they have in the passing game, to still be winning 11 games and still be scoring close to 30 points a game, kind of crazy, actually, when you think about it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Shane in New Jersey. Hi, Shane.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, a win's a win. We seem to play better. You know, the stats, you know, we've beaten some great quarterbacks this year, so I'm not too worried about the Browns win or struggles. But my question is, with the Patriots, you know, the Jets and the Dolphins kind of looking, you know, like they're just, you know, trying to get to Cancun already, playing JV teams. Do you think the Bills are going to rest some guys down the stretch and make sure we're healthy? I know we still have a very outside chance at the division, but it seems unlikely. And,
no,
you know, getting Milano and Josh healthy. No, I was just going to say, you know, we've been so injured this year. You know, having a team fully healthy and ready to go for the playoffs, like a Bosa, Milano, even Josh, seems like it's more important than the 5-6-7.
Here's what I would say, Shane, and someone else called on this earlier, so I'll reiterate what I said to this to that caller. I don't think the Bills will do that until they're in the game week 18 and are scoreboard watching. If the Bills beat the Eagles, now look, if the Bills lose the Eagles next week, there's no chance. They're probably going to, I would say they'd rest guys the following week, right? But if the Bills beat the Eagles, they do have a chance to win the division. And as you say, it's unlikely, but they'll be playing most likely at the same time as the Patriots in week 18. And I don't think the Bills do that unless they know the Patriots have things in hand. Does that make sense?
No, 100%. I mean, that's the way McDermott runs it, so yep. I wasn't sure. I figured that'd be the case.
I think that's what you're looking at, but I understand the argument, and I get where anybody's coming from, because that could be very valuable to back off. And here's the other part about it, Shane. It looks like the Steelers are going to get the four, and they're going to be able to rest players because they're not going to have anything to play for in Week 18.
Correct.
Yep, and if you're going to go to Pittsburgh, which we don't know yet, but if the Bills are going to go to Pittsburgh for that first round game, you could have a well-rested Steelers team. And are you coming off a game where you're putting pedal to the metal and you come up short anyway in the division in week 18 against the Jets? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's go to Ron in Williamsville. Hi, Ron, you're on WGR. Ron, are you there? Is this the same person we had earlier that called in that we couldn't get on? Save me, Ron, you got me, buddy. I think you had me on mute or something. You had yourself on mute. There you go.
Yeah, no, something happened there. Right. But anyway, thanks for taking a call.
Yeah.
I had a couple things. One is, I don't know what the percentage of success overall in the league for going for two, but over the past several games, I've noticed that teams seem to be more successful at two-point conversions than the Bills in general. But that was my second point. My first point was, McDermott, I think, has been really doing a great job in regards to going for it on fourth down. And even some of the challenges, even though he didn't win yesterday, I thought were worthwhile challenges. So I think he's gotten better there in regards to how he's managing the game. And I really thought it was impressive last week, especially going for it on fourth downs when he did. And I know we used to beat him up on that a lot. I did. So I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, he's always been more aggressive than people give him credit for, I think, on fourth down over the last few years. I think yesterday it was a situation he went for it on the one fourth down because he wasn't going to kick a 56-yard field goal. That was out of the range. Actually, I'm sorry. They punted on that one, so I could have understood him going for it. He didn't. I thought maybe he should have gone for that one, but he punted. But they're playing field position against a rookie quarterback. I understand that one. The other one was a fourth down to try and seal the game. So, yeah. Ron, on your two-point conversion question, I think it's about 50%, maybe 51 to 52% the teams make it. I have to go back and look. It was a couple of years ago, though. And the Bills generally have not been that successful, but they did pick one up or a couple recently, so a little bit more successful there. So I'm not sure the exact numbers and detail you want on that. You know, two-point conversions are, you go with your best two-yard play, right? So you work all week on something. Sometimes a coin flip, and it literally is. It's like a 50% chance, basically. Tom in Wheatfield. Hi, Tom. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, one thing I wanted to mention, and this isn't a criticism at all, but I think with Myles Garrett on the other side, I think he had a huge impact on our passing game without, you know, with getting that phantom half sack.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Josh would always roll out to the right. It's almost like the field was like cut in half. And we had so much respect for him, again, rightfully so, because he could kill a game in a minute. And I think that affected it. You know, not about the drops or any of that type of stuff, but I think he kind of minimized it just by his presence. What do you think?
I think it's a great point, Tom. It's a great point. I said kind of the same thing earlier. I was on with Joe, and I said the same thing, which is, you know, even Myles Garrett's presence, they did a great job on him. But because of knowing where he was and how aware they were of him, I think it impacted what adjustments they were willing to make as the game went on. You know what I mean?
I got it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Tom. That's a good point. I like that. Becky in the Finger Lakes on this same point, I think. Go ahead, Becky. You're on WGR.
Yeah, Sam. Hey, I just wanted to call and give kudos for Deion Dawkins, especially after he was sick during a couple of days prior to the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting back in shape and being ready for a pretty tough task, but thought he did well. And just give me your thoughts on it in general. And I'm sorry to repeat the prior.
No, you didn't. You didn't. It's a different point, but it's a good one, and it should be stated. Deion Dawkins did a great job. He was one-on-one on Myles Garrett a lot. He has so much respect for him. And the Bills had a good plan for Myles Garrett, and they executed a good plan for him. I do think that your point is a good one, coupled with the last point of, hey, they paid so much attention to him that it kind of limited a bit of what they were doing on offense as well. Let's go to Glenn in Newfane. Thanks for the call, by the way. Go ahead, Glenn. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for having me on. Merry Christmas to everybody. And yesterday was kind of like an old Clint Eastwood movie, like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly all together.
Mm-hmm.
The good, I would say, to come out of it without any major injuries, to be able to have another week of guys that are dinged up this time of year, you know, to heal up. But especially the win, to get a win. The other thing I wanted to say, downstate, we got a guy from Johnson City, New York, wherever the heck that is, Daquan Jones, congratulations. Never a pick.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
In high school,
that's right.
Not in college, which is he a Penn State guy, I think?
I think he is, yeah.
And then here you get to the big level to get an interception for a big guy like that. I was so happy for him. The only bad thing I can see is, and it's Victory Monday. Everybody enjoy it. It's holiday time. I hate seeing this sloppy tackling crap.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I've seen better wrap up on a pickpocket. I mean, my God, the angles don't look right. So mm-hmm. Maybe it's because it's so cold. Tell me about the, if you can, how cold it was, because that's what I'm hearing from people that were there.
It wasn't that bad. I mean, it was cold, but it wasn't that bad. They've been in much more bitter cold temperatures, and you're not wrong. They need to be better tackling. Tackling was bad again yesterday. I thought they had improved their tackling really for a few weeks. It was really trending well, and then I think the last couple of weeks, it kind of showed up again, especially yesterday for sure, and they got to be better there, and you're right. Angles. I was thinking about this yesterday. It's one thing to say load the box. You can't just load the box because then you have bad angles you're taking. You got to have a certain depth, and you got to take a good angle, and you got to wrap up, and you got to tackle. And it hasn't been up to par this year overall, and you hope that it doesn't hurt them when they're facing a team in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yes. Thank you, guys, and Merry Christmas to everybody. Appreciate it.
All right, You got it. Thanks a lot. Let's take John from Elma before the break. Hi, John.
Hey, thank you. This is John. Thanks for having me, but I only got two comments, one on the defense and one on the Super Bowl. First, I think in order to improve our tackling, which the other caller just talked about, I want you to look at how many times our guys put the heads in front of the runner, not behind. Most of the times I used to play for UB, University of Buffalo, middle linebacker, and you had to stick your head in front of a guy in order to tackle him or at least try to knock him down. When you put your head behind, then you're relying on your arms and they got their weight of the legs, and that's useless. And I don't want to say this. It's very, very bad percentage because I've counted them. But secondly, on the Super Bowl, the way we win Super Bowls is going through the tough times and coming out at the best time. Now, we are at the bad time with our defense, but hopefully if they got some guys that can tackle, we might be able to win with Josh Allen, and I think we can. I think we got to win this Super Bowl coming up. And I don't care who says what, but we have the best chance to win the Super Bowl. I'd like to hear your comments.
I think you said it all, John. Merry Christmas, and thanks for the phone call, buddy. I don't know if you heard me. Good job, John. You're right. John giving us some proper tackling technique on the radio today. The only thing I would have loved more about that phone call is if he was on video and he could show us. Because that would be a great clinic to put your head in front of the runner and not behind. And he's not wrong. What I will say, though, John, is they work on that. They know that. That is something that gets drilled and worked on. And as you know, as a football guy, you played middle linebacker at UB. And going back, I don't care what it is, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. That's the way to tackle. You can't arm tackle. You put the ball behind the runner, you're arm tackling. You put the ball in front of the runner, gives you a better chance, no doubt about that. That's what you want to do. Would have loved to have seen you demonstrate that, though. That would have been cool. We'll take a timeout. Merry Christmas to everybody. 1.5 hour left. A couple segments left. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, still left here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
And Michael Badgley, who was cut by the Colts 2 weeks ago after missing an extra point. Oh! On cue. Doink.
Did you jinx him while he was kicking?
I think I may have. It's on me, Michael.
That was Ian Eagle. Michael Badgley misses the extra point. He called it like the announcer jinx as he was kicking it, basically. So that's what that was about. Got a good tweet here from a listener. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Dad of Jeb on Twitter. Thank you, Dad of Jeb. He makes a great point here, and I should have brought this up with John, but I will tell you, yes, for many, many years, and you know the normal way to kind of learn since you're a young person, and John, I hope you're still listening, is exactly what John said. When you go to tackle somebody, head in front of the ball carrier, okay, to make sure that you stop them from, you know, so you're not arm tackling. However, Dad of Jeb makes a good point. He asked the question, and look, honestly, like I haven't coached football in several years now, but so I don't know what they're teaching right now at the USA football level. But he said, isn't the new tackling technique intended to be behind the runner because it's meant to cut down on concussions? That's what's being taught at the peewee level. And I do believe there's some of that going on now, which is they're actually teaching to go behind the runner and hint near shoulder, if you will, near shoulder, right shoulder as he's coming kind of left to right on you there. And the head is behind, but I don't know the exact situation and circumstance of every angle technique that's being taught these days. But it is a great point, Dad, of Jeb, and I appreciate that. And John, just so you know, that is something that has been discussed and talked about a lot. It's really cool stuff to kind of think about and talk about and break down when it comes to technique stuff in football. I really like that stuff. So thanks a lot for the call, John. And really appreciate you, you know, bringing that to the forefront, and for Dad of Jeb for tweeting me about that, because you're right. And in the break, I was literally looking at, like, what's the proper technique in today's USA football and the way they do it. And you will find some more of the head behind the ball carrier to cut down on the, you know, your head hitting in front on a collision. Let's go to Mike in Wheatfield. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, morning, Sal.
Yeah, morning.
Victory Monday.
Yeah, you too.
So for everyone who's getting all down and, you know, about the receiving core and everything, I want to point out one thing. I heard this morning, and I think it bears repeating to everybody in Buffalo. The Super Bowl-winning Patriots, Tom Brady's team, went through two tight ends and a slot receiver. What do we have right now? Two top tight ends and a great slot receiver in Khalil Shakir, plus the leading running back and the best quarterback in the NFL. We just need to keep our eye on the prize, push forward, go 1-0 every Sunday, and just keep moving. I just want to let everybody in Buffalo know, like, that's where we're at. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
Love you, Sal.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Listen, I mean, yes, your second part of that is totally right. You play every game. You keep moving forward. You go 1-0. I have a tough time comparing anything that happened 20 years ago, 15 years ago, to today. Talking about this tackling technique we just were a little while ago and how things have changed. The game has changed. It's way different. But I think the Bills do have a kind of a unique way of approaching offense in today's football. Even though they have the MVP and great quarterback in Josh Allen, they still are a team that wants to rely on running the ball and tight ends. And, you know, we'll see if it proves in the end, right? That's going to be the ultimate test. Kevin in Buffalo. Hi, Kevin. You're on WGR.
Wow, what's going on, baby?
How are you, Kevin? Merry Christmas.
Hey, listen, everybody's yapping about the low-scoring game yesterday. Listen, man, we're not going to put up 30, 35 points every week. Forget about that. But my take on this is I think Buffalo is preparing for their playoff offense and not tipping their hand, showing everybody what kind of plays they could possibly be running in some of these playoff games. Number two, that defense, man, we got to figure out a way. Babbitt's got to figure out a way to shore that thing up, man. Because yesterday their B runner gassed us a couple of times. I mean, yeah, we clamped down in the end when we were supposed to, but come on, man, we can't do that against a good running team. Hey, by the way, Sal, do me a favor. Tell my daughter Monique happy birthday. Appreciate you, man.
I think you just did on the radio. Merry Christmas to you too. I don't know if the Bills are holding anything back. I think there's always things that you have saved maybe for later. I don't think they're holding anything back right now. Is anybody really complaining about a low-scoring game yesterday? I think people are – maybe what he means is that the offense in particular, I get it, you know, Kevin, they didn't score 30-something points. If Dawson Knox catches the pass, the Bills are at 30, right? Say 23 when that happened. If he catches the pass, their Bills are at 30. Their average on the year, by the way, is 28.9, which is fourth in the NFL. Bills are averaging fourth most points in the league, which is wild to think about, actually. Let's go to Rick in Denver. Hi, Rick. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Merry Christmas, buddy.
You too.
So one of the things I want to talk about is Terrell Bernard. I don't even hear anybody talk about it. Something's way off with him. I don't care if they told him that he's clear to play. He seems to be a half step off of, you know, his reads. He's missing tackles. His pursuit angles are off. And Shaq Thompson's out for any period of time. That middle linebacker position is going to be a huge issue. And I don't know if maybe all the years, with him being undersized, playing Mike, if he's finally, you know, been beat up so bad that he's just not able to do it anymore. Just like to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I do think he's been hampered by both the ankle injury, which he's not in the injury report anymore for that. He was earlier in the year, and now the elbow. And I do think that offenses have changed. He is definitely even smaller now than when he was, you know, comparatively when he came in the league, and he already was an undersized linebacker. So I agree with that part of it. I agree that it's been a bit off this year for him. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not sure exactly the reason. And Shaq Thompson has solidified that spot. My feeling on Bernard going forward, though, Rick, is I do think he fits more as a will linebacker in the grand scheme of things, the way offenses are played now. You know what I mean? The way defenses are played. But right now, you can't make that switch because obviously you're not taking Matt Milano out the way he's playing either. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think Will is probably a better position for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, once again, everybody's trying to be optimistic. I appreciate it, but there are some glaring holes with this team. I know every team has them.
Yeah.
But, you know, after watching the Jags yesterday, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, they're on a roll right now, and teams can find their rhythm. Right now, they're playing good football. They've had their moments this year too, where they've looked like very pedestrian at best. And the Bills looked very pedestrian yesterday in the second half. Let's go to who's up next. Yogesh in Michigan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sal, how you doing? I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin here. I wanted to bring up first, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you got it. Sorry, it said Michigan on my screen. I know Wisconsin and Michigan are rivals, you know, in sports world, so I don't want to get that wrong. Sorry.
I'm a New York guy. I'm a Buffalo Bills
guy. It.
But
go ahead, buddy.
I want to talk a little bit about the chemistry with the defense in the second half. I saw, like, Bosa and Rousseau seem to be coordinating their pass rushes together. I said, you know, you see Milano, Poyer, they were firing in the flats like they were young men. Trey White has had a real resurgence. And I think yesterday's game is a very important game for our playoff run because we need to know that our defense can win a game when Allen and the offense, you know, when they can't get it done. And I'm looking forward to you and Eric breaking this down on turf to tape. That's the first thing. Second thing, really quick, I'm hearing a lot of negativity here, man. Every year I was in high school, the Bills lost the Super Bowl. I had to live through the Green Bay Packers in Wisconsin winning Super Bowls while we're in a drought. It's Christmas. It's the holidays. Be grateful. Our guys are going out there. They're all hurt. They're putting their bodies out there. All we had to do was win in Cleveland. We did that. That's not a game where we have to show out. So I just want Bills fans to remember, like, hey, we're there with the team. You don't have to have fun right now. This is the greatest time to be a Bills fan. It's December. We're peaking. In 2 weeks, we are going to have, like, the greatest playoff run of our lives. So be positive, support the team, and don't be like Patriots fans.
Well, listen, your point is interesting about – I had a talk with a media member in Cleveland yesterday before the game who said – he asked me, he's like, oh, man, it must be great covering a really, really good team. And I'm like, it is, of course, right? But there's this pressure of if they don't ultimately win, like it doesn't matter anything that they did good. Like it's just that's where it is right now. And he said to me, he said, I get it. It's like when the Cavs were with LeBron. He said, you get so wrapped up in winning it all that you don't enjoy the success. Does that make sense, Yogesh? You know what I mean? And that's what he said. And I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of these things, too, where it's just like, when you see some of these things that Allen is doing, even like a guy like Jackson Hawes, like this guy was drafted in the fifth round. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, and he's making these huge plays out there. We have all these guys contributing in all these different ways, and it's really cool. It's very interesting to see so many people down on a team that's only lost four games, that's on a little bit of a heater where we're winning these really crazy games in really different ways. And where we could really go on a run. So I think it's time where we just start pumping up the team a little bit more. And that's why I can't wait to watch you and Eric, because you guys are going to talk about all the little nuances, all the things the team did right and where they can improve. So I just want all our Bills fans to remember our roots.
All right, you got it, buddy. Thanks a lot for the phone call. We'll get to John real quick in Hamilton before the timeout. Go ahead, John. You're on WGR.
Okay, I'll be quick since the timeout's coming up.
But, you got it.
A quick shout-out to Milano, Bishop and Poyer for flying around the way that they did. And I think that kind of, let's say, enthusiasm is infectious. But I just love watching those guys yesterday. Also, I have a couple questions. First, Josh Palmer, you know, we don't see him. He's off screen on the TV. Did you notice?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Any explosiveness and, you know, any separation from him, And my other question is, if I could get an Ed Oliver injury update.
Yeah, sure.
If you know anything, I'd appreciate that.
We are, as far as Palmer, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the film, as they say, the All-22. In real time, it's hard to see all that happening. We know they're not getting a lot of separation on the outside. I do think there are times where you could pick apart and say, well, he was open here, open there. You could do that with every play. I did notice him actually get, you know, come off the field limping on the same play Josh got hurt, I believe it was. And it seemed like, you know, he wasn't completely 100% after that. So we'll see where that goes. All right, Ed Oliver, real quick. I mean, the last we heard, last we knew, the Bills are still hoping he can come back for the playoffs, and that could still be on track. And if that's the case, I wouldn't be surprised if they start his IR window to return open soon, because that would give him a 3-week ramp up, John. You know what I mean?
That would be a great Christmas present for all of us if he's on the IR list. Well, thank you very much, Sal, and great job, and have a Merry Christmas.
All right, you too, John. We'll take a timeout. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, on the way next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Time for everybody's favorite Monday segment. At least it's mine. Not really. Taking calls from you is mine. But we're going to give you a bit of sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, here. First, let's sit up on this week's NFL schedule. All right, it's awesome. You got games on Thursday for Christmas, 1:00 Cowboys at Commanders, 4:30 Lions at Vikings, 8:15 Broncos at Chiefs. I could have even done a stand down on this because all these games are like, oh, well, they're not nearly as good as we thought they might be before the season, especially Broncos and Chiefs. But at least there's football. But then Saturday, Texans Chargers is big, 4:30 p.m. Ravens Packers is big, 8 p.m., and then you get to Sunday with the Bills. So let's sit up on having a good football week here with the schedule and how that's concerned. All right, let's stand down. Let's stand down on the Jets with Brady Cook starting next week. Don't they know the Bills need the Jets to win? What are you doing, Aaron Glenn? Brady Cook, put Tyrod back in. I mean, the Patriots have done everything they can to put themselves in the position. Good for them, right? Credit where credit's due. Man, the Jets, put Tyrod back in. What are you doing, Brady Cook? And then Quinn Ewers the following week. Put Tua back in. Stand down. Evaluation mode. Schmaluation mode. That's what I say. Let's get to Hey Buddy. In case you haven't noticed, and I don't know how you haven't in Buffalo, New York, your hockey team is surging, ladies and gentlemen. The Buffalo Sabres, under new GM Jarmo Kekalainen, have given us all a Christmas week to start paying attention. By the way, I do my yearly 'Twas the Night Before Christmas poem. I have to figure out how to rhyme Kekalainen somehow this year. That's my challenge over the next couple of days. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sabres have won 6 in a row. They are just a few points back. What are we, 5 points back now of a playoff spot?
I believe it's 3 points
Three.
So they are right in it.
I know, that's right. 5 before last night. Big win against the Devils last night. 3 points back. Hockey is alive in Buffalo. Jarmo Kekalainen, he's hiring associate GMs. He's hiring assistant GMs. I don't know what the hell the difference is between the two, but I don't care. He's hiring hockey people. That's what matters. Get excited about your Buffalo Sabres. They're all my buddies today. All right, what they're doing on the hockey side of things. Keep it rolling into the new year. Owen Parker, great seeing you at your house the other day. Great holiday party you and your dad had. A little festive cheer for people to just say hi and catch up. So thank you.
Yes,
great seeing you.
Of course.
Merry Christmas. Have a great holiday season, okay?
You too.
Merry Christmas, Dan, to you and your family as well for all you do. You guys do a great job here. I appreciate that. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays in the chat box. Thanks a lot for coming in today. We got One Bills Live up next. You got Christmas Eve on Wednesday, Christmas on Thursday. The Bills, they got a week coming up here with the Eagles coming up later on this week. And you have 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, my annual holiday poem coming up later this week too, so pay attention.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.